We have a special message. I'd ask you to open the Bibles, but in the Bibles in the pew, we took a different version. We're coming out of the King James Version. So what we're going to have is going to be up on the screen for you, unless you have a King James Version. If you do, come see me before you leave. I got to meet you. Because that's cool if you have that. I love that version. But we're going to take this out of a movie that I'm sure many of you have seen. In 1965, a Charlie Brown Christmas hit the screens. And there's a part in that movie that always struck me in the heart long before I ever knew why. And it was a scene where Linus, who's known for holding his blanket, his security blanket, breaks out into scripture. And he quotes scripture in the middle of that movie, which is really overwhelming, and I'll tell you more about it in a moment. But we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, 8 through 14. It is the King James Version, so you can look up on the screen if you like and follow along. Hear now the word of God. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And may God add his rich blessing to his inspired, inerrant, infallible word. Pray with me. Father, it's no accident we're here tonight, everyone by divine design, which means you have something to speak into each heart. We'd ask you make it a word of salvation for the unsaved, comfort for those in storm winds, and rest for the tired, weary, and heavy laden. Father, give us ears to hear and minds to understand and hearts that beat for nothing smaller than the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that every Christmas season, it can be the best of times and the most difficult of times. Hearts are broken under the weight of loss. So, Lord, we would ask tonight, this night, you would speak to each heart. Speak exactly what each heart needs to hear. May your word thunder forth from this pulpit. No one came here interested to listen to the imagination of a man, but they hunger and thirst for the revelation of God. So come, now fount of every blessing. Unclutter our minds and unburden our hearts that we might see Jesus in him only. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said. Did you hear the story? The Christmas story about a little boy. He no longer wrote letters to Santa. He wrote them to Jesus. And the first year that he was writing his letter of Christmas gift wants to Jesus, he wrote his list out. And at the bottom he says, and I just want you to know I've been a really good boy all year. And he started to sign his name and he was convicted. Now, I haven't really been good all year. So he crossed that out and he said, I've been good for 6 months. And he started to say, and he crossed that out. He said, I hadn't been 6 months. I've been good for 3 months. He said, no, and he crossed that out. He said, I've been good for a month. No, he's really getting frustrated. He said, I've been good for a week, and he's ready to sign it. And he finally puts the pen down in frustration. And he looks around the room and he looks over onto the table and he sees the nativity scene. And he walks over to the nativity scene and he scans it for a moment and he sees all of the people and the animals. He picks up Mary, Mother Mary. Brings her over to the table, puts it right down on the paper, and he starts to write this, Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, in Jesus' name, all God's people said, 1965, Charles Schulz was approached by the executives of CBS. Peanuts had exploded off the map and was incredibly popular. So they came to Charles and said, listen, we need a Christmas special. He said, great, I'd love to do one. But I have a caveat. I won't do one without the Christmas story. And they said, hold on. No, we need to do the Christmas story. Well, how do you want to do it? We want to take it right from Scripture. No, no, no. He said, then we won't do it. I won't write one. Well, they relented. 1965, over 50 years. 54 years that has been playing in the living rooms of millions and millions of homes, something that is almost unheard of today. Because what Linus says comes out of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, which is the capsulized version of Christmas, what it's all about. So Schultz said, no, I won't do it unless we do it this way. And he finished with this line. He says, if I don't do this and tell the story of Jesus, who will? And he's been telling it for 50 plus years. Well, I want you to see something in it tonight that maybe you haven't seen. I didn't see it for decades till it was brought to my attention. So the title of tonight's message, Christmas Eve, 2019, listen to Linus. Number one, Linus spoke the truth. Three very simple points. Number two, Linus believed the truth. And finally, number three, Linus trusted in the truth. Are you ready? We're going to head out into some deep water tonight and let our nets down for a catch. Number one, Linus spoke the truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, here's what we read. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We believe the Bible to be the infallible and errant, inspired word of God. Every word of it, God-breathed. 40 plus authors, 1,500 years, 3 languages, 3 continents, but one mind behind all of the writers. And we believe it to be one word from one God to one world. Beginning in the Old Testament, a single strand of truth runs all the way through it, completing in Revelation. And what is the single strand of truth? God's unfolding plan of redemption. So, Timothy tells us, Paul in writing to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. I want to give you a couple things here that I think may startle you if you're not familiar with it. Okay? One of my first spiritual fathers, Dr. Kennedy, had a special number rooted in the Old Testament. And remember, the Old Testament was what? The Hebrew Bible. In the day of Jesus, they didn't have your Bible. They had the Hebrew Bible. They had the law, the writings, and the prophets. That's all they had. So Dr. Kennedy said, in that portion of the Bible, I find 333 prophecies that were fulfilled. 333 fulfilled in the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. I want you to think about that for just a moment. 333 fulfilled in this one person. I'm going to give you 8 of them. And I'm going to give you an understanding of what that actually means. Ready? Here's just 8. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. 700 years before Jesus was born, Micah predicts Bethlehem. And he was. 2, the Messiah would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. You don't even have to be a Bible student to know that, right? Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. That's 500 years before Prophet Zechariah. 3, the Messiah's clothes would be gambled away. Imagine these things. Now that's 1,000 years before in Psalm 22. Also in Psalm 22, it says that his hands and his feet would be pierced. There's something remarkable about understanding that 1,000 years before the hands and feet of Jesus were pierced. The Phoenicians were the ones that introduced crucifixion. Not then. Hundreds of years after the prophecy, and the Romans then perfected it. So this wasn't even, no one even knew this. You were stoned to death. There are other ways to put you to death, but you were not crucified. 1,000 years before, Messiah's bones would not be broken. 1,000 years before, Psalm 34, no bones were broken. What would they do for criminals that would hang on a cross that would kind of linger? You could linger for days. The Roman soldiers would come by, they would break the leg, they couldn't push up, take a breath anymore, and they'd suffocate. But when they came to Jesus, they found he was already dead. No bones were broken. Track with me on this. This is going to become amazing in just a moment. Messiah was to be born in the tribe of Judah. If you ever read the genealogies, you go, man, what's this all about? It's important that we understand that. In Matthew and in Luke, it traces the genealogies and tells us where Messiah comes from. He comes from the tribe of Judah. That's another prophecy. That was that we got from Hosea 700 years before. And then we have Messiah to be. Messiah would be called from Egypt. That's Hosea 700 years before. What was that? After the birth, about 2 years later, the Magi come looking for him. They get to Herod. They're looking for the king. He says, when you find him, come back and tell me. They don't come back. What does Herod send out? A decree to do what? to kill the babies, boys 2 years old and under. So an angel comes to Joseph. They flee to Egypt. When Herod's dead, out of Egypt come Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. Hosea, prophecy. And then finally, Messiah to be buried in a rich man's grave. Remember the two rich men that came and took him off the cross? That's a rich man's grave. We have Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus. He's buried in a rich man's grave, Isaiah. Now, what's the likelihood of being able to fulfill 8 prophecies? Ready for this? Just 8. Remember the numbers 333 in the Old Testament, but just 8 of them. If you were to cover the state of Texas, take a look at this. 2 feet deep. I want you to picture this. 2 feet deep in silver dollars. Mark 1 with a red X on the back. The entire state is covered 2 feet deep of silver dollars, and you have that marked one out there somewhere, and you get an individual and you blindfold him, you set him in the corner of Texas and you say, okay, go find that coin. The likelihood of the individual walking across the state and picking one time, picking up the coin that has the red mark is as likely as those 8 prophecies being fulfilled. It's absurd. Yes? Imagine now 333 of them that were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when you start to see the truth, Linus spoke the truth, when you start to see the truth, it begins to overwhelm you. You hear of modern day prophets, right, who make predictions. Nobody ever gets anything right. Maybe they hit something here or there. Can you imagine hundreds of years before writing these things about an individual who didn't exist, who would come, and all of these prophecies being fulfilled? And remember, all you have to find is one prophecy that wasn't fulfilled. Just one. And if you find that, then you can throw everything out. So here we have this incredible, imagine the state of Texas, 2 feet deep. That's what we're looking at. To finish this point, Isaiah 42:9, see the former things have taken place and the new things I declare. What does that mean? The things I told you in the past have happened. The things that are going to happen in the future will happen. What can you count on? You can count on God for his promises. You can count on him. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was good on his promises before, he'll be good on his promises. What are his future promises to you? What are some of them? My God will meet all of your needs. Every one of your needs are constantly being met. Yes? Now, some of the kids are shaking their heads. No, they're not. No, they're not. I tell my parents all the time, I need this. I need this. You don't need it. You want it. You have to understand the difference between needs and wants. My kids all the time telling me, Poppy, I need this. No, you don't. But all of our needs are being met continually. The day your final need is not met, when you breathe your last, you will have completed your ministry and God will be calling you home. Yes? How about this? God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you're never alone, no matter who walks away from you in this life. How about that one? How about death that has no sting? How about that one? When the loved ones that you know who have gone before you, they're in a place that you're going to be reunited with them. How about that? What a promise in God. So we grieve as those. We grieve. 1995, my father passed on Christmas Day. So it's a very difficult time for me. And it always impacts my heart. And then now I actually get to preach the day before. So it's the best of time and it's the worst of times. But I know that I'm going to see him. I will see him again. And then you have the promise that eternal life is yours in Christ. The new heavens and the new earth and the new you. Isn't that good news? It is if you know how bad you are. But even if you think you're pretty good and you got a messed up body like mine, how'd you like this mess? I'm getting a new body on the other side. We've been, because Jesus came out of the grave bodily. He didn't just come out as a spirit. He came out as a body. We get a new body. These are promises that God. So if he was good in the past with his promises, he's good in the future. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Okay? So we good? We got the first point. Linus spoke the, everybody say truth. Linus spoke the, number two. Now, Linus believed the truth. How do we know Linus believed the truth? You're going to see something maybe you haven't seen. Let me give you the passage, Luke 2:10. This is what Linus is saying. Now, Linus is speaking. And the angel said unto them, here's the key word. Watch what happens when he says this in just a moment. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And let me make a comment before you see this. A lot of the kids came running up after the first service and dragging their parents. Says, man, we got to come back to this church, man. This guy's playing Christmas specials and cartoons all the time. No, we don't do that all the time. We don't do it all the time. But we're doing it tonight in a very special way. So I want you to check this out. Ready?
Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy,
which shall
be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
The security blanket now is on the ground.
And this will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
But what? Fix it back up. Keep going.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I bet you had no idea how much deep theology was in a Charlie Brown Christmas, did you? I'm going to show you now. It's really everywhere. Anything you watch, you can, if you look for it, it's there. But I'm going to show you. Then we're going to get you to the deepest part of understanding what the three essential elements of saving faith are. And this one comes from my mentor, Dr. Ron. Ready for this? Watch this. You ready? Linus knew the truth. How do we know that? Charlie Brown says, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? What was the problem that Charles Schulz was confronting? Materialism, right? He was, even then, in 65. So imagine what he'd be doing today. But what was the thing that the whole group wanted? They wanted the biggest, shiniest metal tree you could get for the Christmas play. Charlie Brown comes back with a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. And they're all freaked out, calling him a blockhead. So he says, this isn't right. Does anyone know what Christmas is all about? And what does Linus say? Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And then what does he say? He quotes the scripture. He doesn't make it. That's not the imagination of Charles Schulz. Charles Schulz goes right to the Bible and he inserts it into this special. And in 1965, it goes across millions of living rooms. And in order for us to watch it back then, I was a little boy, so my mom and I, we'd have to get the TV. Remember the TV guide? Some of you old enough, remember a TV guide? Yet, no. You don't know what it is. You're too young. Some of you know a TV guide. You have to go to the grocery store. You have to get a TV guide. You got to run through the papers. Go, when is it on? When is it on? When is it on? Ah, I missed it. So you'd have to look a week in advance and try to find. Now we own it. We watch it 100 times Christmas time. But back then, if you missed it, you missed it for the whole year. You had to watch. And every year, something about, but I didn't know what. I didn't know what then. I know now. Linus knew the truth. Linus believed the truth. Uh-oh. How do we know that he believed the truth? What was the most important thing in the life of Linus? Say it. His blanket. His security blanket. He didn't let that go for anything. He used it as a sling. He used it as a hoodie. He used it for... He never put it down. But when he says, and lo, the angel of the Lord said... Fear not. He drops the blanket. He drops it on the ground and he leaves it on the ground while he finishes talking about the scriptures. That's the most important thing to see. See his hands? They're free now. There's no more blanket. But we're not done. The theology lesson isn't finished because what happens at the end? He finishes speaking the truth and then he reaches back down. He picks up the blanket, his security blanket, and he walks off. What's the problem? Well, first of all, Linus believed the truth. James 2:19 says, you believe there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So he spoke the truth. So he knew it. He believed it. He dropped the blanket. But it still wasn't enough. James says, you believe it. Linus believed it. That's good. The demons. So if you just believe it, but you haven't taken the next step, you're as good as a demon. How good is that? Whoo. So he was like a demon. He didn't go the next step. There's another step that has to be taken in order to be an faith that actually saves, a saving faith. There has to be, you have to know something, you have to believe something, but then there's something else. So we ask the question, why? Why does Linus, after the most profound statement from the scriptures, he picks the blank? Why? He hadn't yet trusted. Take a look. Linus did not trust in the truth yet. He knew it. He believed it. But he hadn't trusted it. How many times do we go back to our security blankets? What are yours? You have, don't shout them out. You're on a live stream. Don't do that. You get yourself all messed up. Somebody will know you and they'll identify and go, oh, I knew that was their problem. I'm not going to tell you mine. Because I have too many of them. But we go back to what? The blanket. And we pick the blanket up over and over. Why? Because it's our comfort. It's what we call theologically our functional God. You love God. You love Jesus. But there's something that's more functional. There's something that meets you in your deeper place of need than Jesus at times. And that's your security blanket. And you go pick it up and you wrap it around you. And I do it. And you do it. And we all do it. Because in that moment, something has happened. We're not trusting. We're not trusting in the truth. We know it. When I'm impatient, I'm not trusting in the truth. When I have a little bit of hostility, I'm not trusting in the truth. When I am, whatever I'm doing that is out of accord with Scripture, it simply means I'm just not trusting in the truth. Same for you. So now, we have to get to our final point. Linus trusted in the truth. Stay with me. Don't miss this. There's something that happens in this movie that is so easy to miss that I want you to pay close attention to, and I want you to take it with you tonight. He never was ever anywhere without that blanket and what? The thumb. Sucking that thumb and holding that blanket, and he had let it go and he grabbed it. But something happened right towards the end. Take a look. Watch him closely. Oh my, that's his security. Did you see it? Some of you have been watching that for 54 years. You never saw that. You never saw him drop. I didn't either. Do you see that? Now he's done what? He's let his man-centered security go. Now he not only knows the truth, believes the truth, now he's trusting in the truth. I'm going to give you the three elements of saving faith. You have to have these three. You have to have these three. You ready? Number one. These are three essential elements. They come from three Latin words. Ready for this? Notitia. We just heard this a few weeks ago when Dr. Ron preached. And it's important to be reminded of this over and over and over again. What is notitia? It's content. You have to have content. What is the content of the faith? What did Linus say? Linus understood the content of saving faith, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's the gospel. There's the miniaturized version of the gospel. Savior is born in the city of David. That's it. So there was content. He knew enough that he needed to know about 1,500 years of Jewish Old Testament history. Stay with me. From Abraham, the father of the faithful, 1,500 years, all of it pointing toward a fulfillment. And what was that? For unto you is born this day in the city of David. The city of David. David, King David. The King, a Savior, his offspring, which is Christ the Lord. Notitia, content. Got to have content. Not some blind leap of faith. Got to have content. What's number two? A census. What does that mean? Conviction. That the content is true. Linus never would have dropped the blanket if he didn't believe that it was true. He believed the content of his saving faith, but he hadn't fully taken the final step. Why? Because when he finished, he reaches down and he grabs the blanket and he walks off. And he sucks that thumb and off he goes. But something happens when he gets with the group in front of that little tree again. Let's see. Fiducia. Personal trust and reliance on that content. Linus finally trusted in the content of saving faith. You ever seen a Charlie Brown Christmas tree? A lot of people think I'm kind of like Charlie Brown. I guess I am. But we got a couple of these as gifts. So Tank says to me, "Dad, you got to bring it in. It's a perfect object for the lesson you're teaching. There's the security blanket. It's gone. He's trusted completely now. It's over. So how do we apply this personally? We can't leave it there. Now we have to ask the question at the end, what has been your security? What do you trust in? What are you trusting in for eternal life? Let's look at three things that are very common. When I speak to people, these are the three most common things that I get to hear. And I hear it every week. And they're from very nice, sincere people. But here's what I hear. Take a look. Well, is it because the good person that you are? People tell me all the time, I'm a good person. I'm not perfect, but I'm a good person. Is it because of the good things that you do? Is it your good deeds? Here's what most people hope for. If I do more good deeds than I do bad, it will outweigh on the scales of justice, and God will have to bring me into eternal life. So you know what you're hoping for? You're hoping that God grades on a curve, right? Do you know where that's a good thing? And it was a great thing for Kim and I as parents. When Brock and Jenna and Katie and Tank's teachers graded on a curve, because that's what got them through. They had to grade on a curve and get them in. If there was no curve, we never would have got through. And I still got two to get out. But God's not going to grade on a curve. You live a good life. The good life that you live. You do a lot of good for people. Do you know who this sounds like? This sounds like the people that Jesus was the most angry with. Who was he most angry? He wasn't most angry with the prostitute, the tax collectors, the sinners. He was most angry with the religious leaders, the religious establishment. They said what? I'm a good person. I do good deeds. I live a good life. Jesus says that's not enough. If that was enough, you wouldn't need me. Why would God send Jesus if you could do it on your own? It doesn't make any sense. A lot of people think Jesus is a good teacher. Well, I've learned some good lessons. He's not a good teacher if he isn't God. If he isn't the Savior, he's nothing. So what has been your security blanket? So now I'm speaking to those who've been working their way to heaven. And I know that there's millions in the world doing that because I get to speak to a lot every week. I was one of them. The night that we got saved, Kim and I, in a hospital when I was passing a kidney stone, 1995, I remember saying this to those who were witnessing to me. I hope I did enough. Boy, am I glad I'm not hoping in that anymore. And those who know how bad they are as glad as I am. It's only those who don't know. So if you have that little bit of a fan, I know there's none of you here, but somebody you might know. And not the person next to you. But if you have that Pharisaical heart, you can't see it. Because you're blinded. You're blinded by your own self-righteousness. Because you can always find somebody doing worse, can't you? Come on, tell me, am I alone to doing that? I can look at some of you right now and I know who I'm doing better than. I can pick you and you. Yeah, I'm doing better than Dan. Yeah, I feel good. Find somebody. Remember when the Pharisee's in the temple and what does he say? I thank thee, O God, I'm not like other men. How come he doesn't say, I thank thee, O God, if you're a Bible student, just for a moment. I thank thee, O God, I'm not like other men. I'm not like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He doesn't use them. Who does he use? He uses tax collectors and evildoers and prostitutes. He doesn't think, well, I'm not like these guys. Why? Because he knew some were doing better and some were. It's always easy to find someone doing worse. God's not grading on a curve. So now I speak to you. What's your security? But perhaps somebody, and we got two for sure in the first service. Who said, Pastor, I didn't want to come tonight. I was being dragged here. I don't belong here. This is no place for me. I don't fit. I don't fit into this religious group. These people are simply too good for me. Let me tell you something. You saw the tree? See the tree right here with the blanket? That's a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. There's another tree. Take a look at it. Don't you miss that. That's the tree. That's the only tree that matters. So you don't fit? Good. I didn't either. You're not good? Neither was I. You weren't doing a lot of good things? No, me neither. That is the key that unlocks the door to the new heavens and the new earth. That is what is the believer's blanket? The blood of the Lamb of God. There was one who came into this world who was born to die. Jesus Christ was born to die. For who? For you. That you might have eternal life. That's the tree. And for you who have been working your way to heaven, put your doing down at the cross. Put your blanket down at the cross. And let the blood of the Lamb cover it. Because only by the blood are we right with God. You don't work your way to heaven. You don't get in on your report card. And don't you thank God for that? You get in because Christ did everything for you. So right now, this is a moment of what we call invitation. If you've never experienced this with outstretched arms and nail-scarred hands, Christ says, come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy. Aren't you weary? Tired of just trying to work your way into God's good graces? Put your doing down and trust in Christ alone. And salvation is yours tonight. But perhaps you're one who wasn't trusting in anything. You thought you were beyond God's reach. Take a look at that tree one more time. That's the tree that saves. And the believer's blanket is the precious blood that poured out from Christ as he hung on that cross with your name on his heart, speaking your name through his cracked lips. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, but it only matters if that's true for you. Is that your truth? Come to Christ. If you've never prayed, we're going to pray together. Believers, pray with me, and if you've never prayed to receive, pray tonight. By grace through faith, and salvation is yours. And then we'll all sing our final song together. Join me in prayer, won't you? Father, we ask right now, in the strong name of Jesus, we know that there are some in this sanctuary who have never, ever, ever surrendered control to Christ. They have never bowed the knee to Jesus. Some thought they were so far off. No hope. So many things they did. Oh God. Give them the believer's blanket. The blood of the Lamb. And tell them that he who began a good work will one day bring it to completion. If you've never prayed, pray with me right now. It's as simple as the prayer the tax collector prayed in the temple. Here are the words. Just repeat them in your heart. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I cannot save myself, and I trust in Christ alone. Oh, God. This night, Christmas Eve 2019, is a night of salvation. And Lord, for the rest, some who have been walking for more than 50 years, help us to keep walking by faith and not by sight. And remind us every time that we attempt to reach down and pick up our blanket of security, remind us we need nothing but the blood. And that blood has been shed for all men who will trust in Christ alone. And we thank you for this truth. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. Now receive the benediction of our God. And may the surprise of Mary and the surrender of Joseph and the sureness of the Magi and the strength of the shepherds and the simple saving faith of Linus be yours this night and forevermore. Amen. God bless you all. Merry Christmas. Go in peace.